But before we start service today, we got a special guest here today. He don't want me to do this. I know he don't. But I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm not going to tell you all the stories. You'll be here quite some time. Matter of fact, you might want me and him to leave after I told you some of them. I'm going to tell you about this one story. Y'all heard me talk about when I was 13 how I cracked my skull. And they thought I had permanent brain damage. And I know some of y'all think I still do. But according to the test, it was I healed up mostly. They put me out. I was in eighth grade, and I couldn't remember anything because my memory was messed up, and I couldn't walk. I still can't walk, but at least I can halfway remember. Amen. And out of the blue, they stuck this guy behind me. It wasn't out of the blue. It was God. And this young man helped me. It took 6 months for my brain to kick back in gear. I've said it so many times, but I don't think I ever told him how much it meant. And that it was a God thing. And that God was awesome to put you behind me because he kept me going. He said, talk to me, tell me this. And I would forget as soon as I'd speak it. I would forget because of that brain damage. And he would just keep on and keep on and keep on. And so he helped me the first 6 months of school with my memory, and it was so awesome. And so that's Joey Roberts. He's right there. There he is. I want you to stand up and say something for the Lord, Joey. He's also a man of God. That's awesome. Come on, bro. Yes, we did. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. And I do have to tell this one little story since he brought it up. We were on top of this vine tree, and we're all on top. It was so big we could all be on top of it, and it was in between the ditches. There's a thing in between the ditches, and we're up there, and we're playing on this vine tree, and we're having a good time, and Joey decides he had unstuck his feet in it one time and fell backwards. So Joey says, y'all guys watch me. He had it all figured out. And it was that Lipton iced tea commercial. Lipton iced tea. Ah, and they just fall backwards. Well, Joey said, y'all watch this. That's the famous last words of a redneck. He said, hey, y'all watch this. And he said, Lipton iced tea. Ah, and he just fell over and just kept falling. And all we heard was a bloo-coop, bloo-coop. No, that was you. No, I tried it the second time. I don't know if anybody, Larry and Gary might finally figure it out. Okay. God's good. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Have you ever just didn't get it? God's talking to you. God's showing you. God showed you in His Word. God has showed you so many different ways and so many different ways and talked to you in so many different ways that you ought to get it. But all it takes, because our faith can be so fragile, all it takes is just a little bitty bump or a bruise, and we're ready to throw in the towel. Come on now, do not shout me down. All it takes is a little bit. We go through some major, major stuff, and we get through it all right. God's blessed us, and then we lose it. Before you stand up, let me tell you this little joke here. And it's so pitiful, it's not even a joke. Is there anything wrong? I'll ask a bartender of this young, well-dressed customer who was staring grimly in his drink. He said, 2 months ago, my grandfather died and left me $100,000. Wow. That is a sign of something to be upset about, said the bartender. I wish it happened to me. Yes, said the sour young man. Said, last month, an uncle of mine died and passed away and left me another $100,000. And he said, well, why are you sitting there looking so happy, or so unhappy, so sad? He said, well, this month so far, not a red cent. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, kind of the corny bend. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize how God is blessing us. And we miss further blessing because we don't hang on to the blessing God has given us. Amen? So here, we're going to talk about Exodus 14. And anybody that's a Bible scholar, Bible student, knows that Exodus 14 is when they're at the Red Sea. So let's get your Bibles out. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Stand for the reading of the Word. Exodus chapter 14. Now, we're going to go back and forth. I didn't put up any verses up there because we're going to go back and forth a little bit. But just to start with, let's just start here. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. I got to say that one again. Fear ye not. Stand still. Keep your hands out of it. And see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, don't be afraid. Keep your hands out of it. Stand ready and watch what God will do. For he will show you today, for the Egyptians to whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. I'll just stop it right there. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and I know, God, that you have a very, very powerful ministry for every last one of us. You have something for us, something in store for us. You've got something you want us to do in our lives, God. Father, you have gifted every last one of us with a special gift to handle that special calling or that special event in our life that we're standing before right now. What we see is aggravating us is actually God preparing us and getting us ready to step forth into whatever it is he has chosen us to handle. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're more than enough. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Now turn to somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. So now, I'm going to talk to you today for something very simple. It's so simple. It's like falling off a log. How many have been watching the Olympics? This is what I'm talking about by simple. How many have seen Michael Phelps? I mean, just, doesn't he make swimming look so simple? Made me want to get, I mean, as a matter of fact, I got in the shower and just started. Yeah, I mean, I felt like I could swim after watching that man. But you know what? Even though it looked simple, it wasn't. Not for him to, how many, 22 gold? Yeah, so 24, whatever it is. I can't keep up with it because he keeps getting them. Yeah, but he said it was his last night, and his friend said, no, it's not, and so we'll find it. We'll wait and see. But still, the thing I'm trying to make is he made it look so easy, but it wasn't. Amen. What I'm going to talk about today is going to look kind of easy, but then you can say, nah, it's not all that easy. Yeah, it is, but it's only easy if you let God help you. Called, but stalled. There was a time in my life, and there's been times along the way, where I knew I was called, but I was stalled. Instead of moving forth in the power and anointing of God, and moving forth in what I knew God had said, I've got your back, I got you covered, don't be afraid, stand still, keep your hands out of it, watch me work. Instead, I got fearful. I put my own hands in it, and I told God, I don't need your help. And then I blamed him because it didn't work the way I wanted it to. I know I'm the only one. Amen. So called, but stalled. God will make a way. Amen. Called, but stalled. So here we go. Here. Moses has already led Israel out. I mean, I put a lot up here. I want you to see this. From a strong, oppressive hand of Pharaoh, they started their journey with high hopes and expectations. They marched only a few days, and suddenly it seemed like, whoa, wait a minute. We're at the Red Sea. Things aren't looking like God said they were. We were looking for the promised land, and what we see is the Red Sea. For 9 months to a year, they watched the greatest country in the world picked apart. They watched it picked apart. They watched the greatest ruler in the world, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Pharaoh of that day, the God of that world. They saw him bow his knee down to Moses and say, go ahead, let your people, we're going to let them go. Go! Get out of here! Go! And so now, they are running on, full tank. Everything's looking good. They're having a wonderful time. They're looking like, man, you go to God, I can't wait to see what you got for us next. And all of a sudden, they come up to the Red Sea. When they get to the Red Sea, there's mountains on each side of them. And they see Pharaoh's chariots coming after them. Wow. Let me tell you something. Satan doesn't give up easy. Okay? If he's got, listen, Satan does not give up easy. If you just got out of his clutches, if you just destroyed his plan, believe me, he is not a happy camper, and he's not like us. We'll give up. He keeps on coming. And so here they are. They got the mountains beside them. They got Pharaoh behind them, and it looks like they're hemmed in, and they don't even realize, listen, God led them that way because he said if I led them another way to the promised land, they would start war, and they would get afraid, and they would leave. So I'm not going to let them fight a war. Watch this. I'm going to let them see me fight the war for them. Wow. Wow. I can't say that enough. If it went one way, they'd have had to fight. They'd have seen war. So God told Moses, lead them this way by the Red Sea. And watch this. They're going to see me do war on their behalf. He's going to put a sign and declaration on the end of what he had already done for them. So here it is. They're called. They're called. They're definitely called of God. God's got his hand on them. It's something special. And now Moses, here's Moses. Moses knows they're called. So Moses turns to the people and he says, we just read it, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians that you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Some of y'all in here are dealing with something. Let me stop. Some of y'all in here are dealing with something and you think it's never going to end. It could be a habit. It could be a problem. It could be a situation. It could be a relationship. But you're thinking that it will never end. I'm here to tell you right now, according to that promise right there, there's coming a day when you're not going to have to see that anymore. You're going to overcome that problem. You're going to overcome that situation. You're going to overcome that relationship. But you got to hold on and trust God. Remember, don't be afraid. Take your hands off of it. And when you do, God we'll fix it. And I didn't read this because this is amazing to me. Here's Moses. There's 1.5 million Israelites. They're screaming. They're hollering at him. They're mad. They're wanting to turn back. They're wanting to stone him. They're wanting to get a new captain and go back. All kinds of stuff. And Moses stands up and says, I mean, all I can see is Charlton Heston standing there. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, that's awesome. But you know what? Moses must have been from Possum Track. Because he turns around to God and he says, what you want me to do now? Oh, come on, y'all. You read it. I just, I did what you said. And he says, the Lord shall fight for you, hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, why criest thou unto me? He looked over at God and said, what are we going to do now? I mean, you told me to tell him not to be afraid. You told me that everything was going to be all right. But Lord, there's mountains on every side. There's Pharaoh's choice chariots behind us. And there's a Red Sea. It's over 100 foot deep. So what are we going to do? Now, if I like what he says, then the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Whoa. I've had a few boss men tell me that. I've had a few counselors tell me that. I've had some pastors tell me that.
Why are you crying to me?
You know what to do. Do it. Some of you on here right now, you've been crying unto God and crying unto God and wondering why he has not answered. And God said, I've already answered. You got to do what I told you to do. I don't have a plan A, plan B, plan C. I've got one plan. It's my plan. That's what God talks. His way is the highway. And so he says, so why are you crying unto me? I told you to go forth. I like another version of the message. It says, why are you crying to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. But wait a minute, Lord. Have you looked down at the situation? Mountain, Pharaoh, Red Sea. Have you noticed that? I've actually told the Lord before. I said, Lord, have you actually seen where I'm at? Lord, do you understand exactly the heaviness here? What's going on? That word go forward is a special word in Hebrew, because that word to go forward, you know what it means? To pull up your tent pegs. That's what it means. So now, if it means pull up your tent pegs, it means don't get locked in to the situation that you're in. Don't get boggled down in it and think that God can't get you out of it. Don't say, well, there's no way to get out of it. There's a Red Sea, mountains, and Pharaoh. I might as well put my tent pegs down because we're going to be here for quite some time in this mess. And God says, why are you crying to me, Moses? Tell the people to pull up their tent pegs and go forward. Wow. That's powerful. That is so, so powerful, because as a counselor, all the time I see people that got their tent pegs pushed down, and not only they got them pushed down, they've hit them with a hammer, and they got their foot on top of it. And I tell them, if you try this or do this, or if you'll speak this word, or if you'll understand what God's trying to do in your life, you'll go forward, but they won't pull the tent pegs up. Wow. So let's go here. Let's go further here. So he says, pull up your tent pegs. So what does it mean when he says pull up your tent pegs? What's he telling them actually? He's telling them, I want you to have your faith activated. It's one thing to have your notebook with the thing faith written on it. It's another thing to have your car, you know, you got a bumper sticker on it. You know, I honk for Jesus. I saw one the other day. It was really cool. It says, tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. I had to throw it out there. I just liked it so good. I mean, I also remember going to Newburgh one time and I passed a Chevrolet. It was a Ford. And it was going so bad and so slow and kicking out so much smoke. I couldn't hardly breathe. When I got past it, I got close enough to see the bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker on that Ford said, I'm constipated. I can't pass anything. All right. Enough of the bumper stickers. All right. Don't talk about faith and then do nothing. Don't, you know, I tell people all the time, I used to tell them at Fountain, don't talk me to death. We got a problem. Here's a solution. All right, guys, let's go handle this solution. And they go, well, we don't know. We're scared, blah, 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 blah. And I say, quit talking me to death. Let's get out there and do something. Because if we don't get out and do something, we're going to sink. Get it, Fountain Power Boat, sink. Okay. I tell people all the time in my family, don't talk me to death. And you know what? I can hear God looking down at me sometimes and go, David, you're talking me to death. But Lord, have you seen how it looks down here? David, you're talking me to death. David, you haven't heard what I said. I said, pull up the tent pegs and move forward. So faith first is always positive. When I say positive, I'm going to say forward. But I put forward there. I was hesitant to put forward, although it's forward in this story, is because sometimes in faith you have to back up. Sometimes in faith you have to do other things, and it may seem negative. By faith, Jesus took the cross and carried it, and it looked like a bad thing. It looked very negative, but in all actuality, it was a very positive thing for the rest of us. So, but remember, faith first is always positive. When you're getting ready to see your faith activated, number one, faith is always positive, guaranteed, always 100% positive. It's also powerful. The Bible says in the Amplified Version, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. They're hemmed in. There's nowhere for them to go. They're looking at the Red Sea, and God says, go forward. We didn't bring boats. Nobody can swim. What's going on here, Lord? You're telling us to go forward, and there's the Red Sea. Faith sees things that your senses can't see. Not only is it positive, not only is it powerful, it's pleasing. Because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists or that He is a rewarder of them who earnestly and diligently seek Him. God said, go forward. How many here have heard God tell you, get back up, and you laid there? I remember one night, I was working a swing shift. I was already tired. I'll come home. I started running a fever. I mean, a high fever. And I got sick in my belly. And every time I get up, I'd get dizzy. And I want to throw up. And I was just feeling really, really bad. And I kept telling my wife, she said, you need to go see somebody. I said, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I got praying. And the Lord said, stand up. I said, Lord, I tried. I fell back down. He said, I said, stand up. I said, Lord, have you seen me stand up? I argued with him. I know I'm the only one that's ever argued. And he said, take up thy bed and walk. And as God is my witness, and I regret this and regret it today, but now I use it as a lesson, I said, no, I can't. 1 hour later, I was in the emergency room with IVs stuck in me. And for the rest of my life, I go back to that moment when God said, rise, take up your bed. And I said, no. And the situation that it got me in, I honestly believe if I had listened, I'd have went to work that night instead of laying in the emergency room with IVs stuck all over me. So now, watch this. They became stalled. See, when you fail to go forward, see, look at one way. It's backwards. Do you know that there's only one way to go in God is forward? Because if you're stopped, you're going backwards. I like what Eddie told me this morning. I was in there praying, and Eddie came in my office while I was praying, and Eddie told me something that makes so much sense. It's so cool. He said, you've been praying to God, and you got God right where He wants you. Yeah, that's right. I got God right where He wants me. Amen. So if you're stopping, see, when you fail to go forward, and when I say go forward, it doesn't necessarily mean motion, but it means emotion. It can mean getting God's back in your spirit, getting His word back, reviving your insides first. Sometimes the outside may not move, but the inside is moving. You know, it's like a little man walked outside the store and he saw this little kid about that tall. And had a big old thing of cotton candy that was like this, like a tree. Then that little bitty fellow and said, you going to eat that? He said, yes, sir. He said, you going to eat that great big old thing of cotton candy? He said, yes, sir. He said, what? He said, manly down, he says, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. So watch. So when you become stalled, terrible things happen, and soon it gets out of your control. It gets way out of your control. So we're going to talk about it quickly. We're going to move on. I've heard that before, too. We're not going to be stalled. Symptoms of being stalled. Let me just show you this. I'm going to tell you, this is how you know if you're stalled. The first is you look in, and you get afraid. You got your timer, you got your clock set, you got everything figured out, you got God figured out, God's not moving the way you want him to, and you're beginning to think God's not going to move, and all of a sudden now all things get bad. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The very first thing, when you're going to be stalled, is it always starts with fear. Not only is there fear, a look in, but there's a look around. Because it said, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us out away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us out of Egypt? Now they're murmuring and complaining. And the murmuring and complaining, here's the difference. You can look at murmuring as covert. I mean, murmuring is like, well, I'm going to get on the phone and tell somebody, I don't like this, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what they're doing, I can't figure it out. We may get around, and when the person standing in front of you going, oh, that's such a nice looking dress, and your hair is so pretty, and to walk away and somebody looks at me and say, they look like a clown. That's the simplest explanation of murmuring. Or, I don't think God can do it. I don't think he's going to do it. I can't figure out how in the world we're going to get this to happen this way. And then complaining is right out open in the open. I told you it weren't going to work. I told you we got messing up. I told you what was going to happen. And that's what they're doing. They just saw it. 9 months to a year saw it. The greatest kingdom in the world brought to its knees with 10 plagues from God. And now, the very first time they hit an obstacle outside of Egypt, they want to be afraid, and they want to murmur, and they want to complain. Let me ask you a question. Is that a fun place to be? No. Then, watch this. Next, after they looked in and looked around, then you start looking back. I've been there many times. Many times, especially when things are getting tough. Watch this. It's not just the word we did tell you in Egypt saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Didn't say they backslid. They were attacked by a backsliding spirit. How many times after God has blessed you and you've seen God do something in your life amazing and things start going wrong, all of a sudden you think, well, you know, I had it better off when I was over in the bars. I had it better off when I was doing it my way. Well, I had it better off when things didn't look so good. As a matter of fact, they're looking better all the time. That'll happen because Satan is a very wise adversary, a very wise opponent. And so, first he wants to get you to look in and be afraid, look around and murmur and complain, and then look back and get attacked by that backsliding spirit. I can tell you there's nothing back there worth going back there to. Amen? You didn't like it when you were back there. You hated it when you were back there. Don't let Satan tell you how good it was. It was not good. I did not enjoy it. Oh, there was pleasure in the sin for a season, but overall, it was consuming me. Praise God. Now I am consumed by passion for God. Praise the Lamb of God. It may not be the best thing I've ever seen in my life because there's problems, but it's the best thing I'll ever see in the afterlife. Praise God. God is in control. Amen. Yeah. Oh, go ahead and clap. Don't halfway clap. All right, now look. So look, you look in, you look around, you look back, and then you stall. Well, the problem is when you stall, and I tell people this all the time, they don't want to hear it. When you stall, you're not the only one you're affecting. When you stall, people that are looking to you, people behind you, they stall too. It's like dominoes. You see, their tent pegs have become firmly planted. And they recalled that they were stalled. Amen. I told you I'm not going to keep you long today. Well, we'll be out of here by 3 o'clock. I got a 2 o'clock funeral, so I got to be out of here. How long will it take to get to Washington? How much? Okay, let me get out of here quick then. All right. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Let's bring it down. The plow down. I mean down. Damn. Some of you have been camped out at the place of anger for too long. depression, bitterness, hurt feelings, fear. Just getting by. You got your tent pegs pushed down so hard. Some of y'all have been mad at somebody for so many years, and every time you see them, you have to remind yourself to be mad at them. And then you got to figure out, why are you mad at them anyway? Your feelings are hurt, and everything's fine until you get around a certain person or hear a certain song, and then all of a sudden, you get the mully grubs again. God says, pull up your tent pegs. Let me heal you. Let me do something in your life that only I can do. Speaking of God, let God work in your life in a very powerful way, and watch what He'll do. Pull up your tent pegs. Quit camping at the sight of pain. Amen? God's got something special. Amen. So here we go. Here we go. We're almost through. Y'all got that McDonald's look on your face. Well, no, some of y'all don't like McDonald's or Burger King. Okay, then y'all look like Charlie's. All right. Moving forward. Get ready. Get ready. You're going to move forward. Watch this. Here's what happened. This is quick now. You better be quick on this one. Watch this. If you're going to move forward, first, it requires you to change your stinking thinking. I sent out a mighty army about 3 days ago that said we're always successful when we reach out to find somebody to blame. When we try to find somebody to blame, we'll find. Amen. There's something. Somebody did something wrong. Somebody somewhere. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat some worms for breakfast. Change your thinking. You got to know that something better is coming. And what you're going through now is only temporary. It's only temporary. This is not our final destination here or in the hereafter. We got something great coming our way. First, change your thinking. He says, here's their problem. And this is ours. They were comfortable living in Egypt. They didn't like it, but they were comfortable. Listen to me. They didn't like it, but they were comfortable. Why do you think women keep going back to abusive relationships? It's not because they like it, but it's not necessarily comfortable in the sense of I'm liking it, but it's comfortable in the sense of I know what's coming. I know what to expect. And I can hang with what I know what to expect. You see, again, they were used to living as slaves. They were used to settling for the leftovers. Let me ask you a question today. Are you getting comfortable in your pain? Are you getting comfortable in your hurt? Are you getting comfortable in your depression? Are you getting comfortable in that dissatisfaction? Not because you like it, but because now at least you know what to expect. You see, they told him, they said, it's not just the word we did tell you in Egypt saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die out here in the wilderness. So change your stinking thinking. Number two, you're going to have to change your attitude. You see, I remember when I first got saved, I had a slave mentality. You did too. The problem is when we don't shake that slave mentality. World. You said, oh, not me. I was too strong for that. Yes, you were. Until you got saved, you see, people, this slave mentality, you know, Exodus 14, they said unto Moses, because there was no graves again, you brought us out here to die. You just didn't want us to die there. You want us to die here. You wanted to make a big hoopla, but you had nothing to go on. I keep hearing that now about the presidential elections. You talk about change, don't tell us how. You're just going to get us out here and kill us. That's exactly, think about when you're hearing that, think about here. That lines right up to what we're hearing in the political arena. Let me tell you something. God says you're the head and not the tail. You are a victor, not a victim. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, you're blessed going in, you're blessed going out. God's got blessings for us. Refuse the slave mentality. Refuse it. I remember how it used to be, but I'm not where it used to be, praise God. And I'm not what I should be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. God says, shake the slave mentality. You don't have to put up with that junk anymore. So, change your thinking, change your attitude. And here's a good one. Watch this. Call to action. Again, why did I say God told Moses, don't talk me to death? You see, it involves faith in God and using what God's placed in your hand. Now, I love this. Watch this, watch this. We always like to talk about David fighting Goliath with the sling and the stone. We think that's some crude weapons, and it's very crude, but not to them. As a matter of fact, to a shepherd, that's a very powerful weapon. This guy here can split hairs. He was an awesome dude when it comes to practicing and using that sling. But see, God said to Moses, raise your staff and stretch it out, hand over the sea, and divide the water so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. So here's Moses, mountain, Pharaoh, Red Sea. Watch this. The only thing that he had was faith in what God promised and a stick. I saw some light bulbs popping on. All he had was faith in what God promised and a stick. What have you got? What have you got that God can use? You know, well, I don't have anything. God can't use me. He gives us all something. You may have talent. You may have a trade. You may have spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. But again, it doesn't matter what it is. Use it for the glory of God. Moses had a promise and a stick. David had a promise and a sling. God doesn't need us to be supermen. God wants to take the ordinary and add his super to it, and it becomes super ordinary. Amen? And then finally, listen, the charge of faith. And I'm getting ready to close. Y'all guys get ready. Let's see this. Ready? Call to action. Get up. Do something. You know, it was like that guy, you've heard me tell it before. The guy had been, this neighbor had been inviting his other neighbor to go to church. Actually, the guy was a neighbor of the church. Here's the guy that lives right beside the church. This guy come by and saw him every Sunday and invited him to church. And every Sunday he said, no, I'm busy. I'm cutting grass. I'm going to sleep in, whatever. Every Sunday he would invite him to church. He did right next door to the church. And he would never go. And then one night, the church caught on fire. And when this guy came to help put the fire out, there was a neighbor helping put the fire out. And he said, well, what is this? He said, you never come to our church before. Why now? He said, your church has never been on fire until now. All right. So, here's the charge of faith. Moving forward also depends on God's word. And when you follow God's word, watch this. When you follow God's word, you invite God's power. When you follow God's word, you invite God's power. Moses could have just stood there and never lifted his arm, never raised that rod, and nothing would have happened. You know, there's all kinds of people in this world. There's that person that wants to, he's got his weapon, and he shoots and he aims. Shoot, aim. He never hits anything. Then you got the other one who just aims and never shoots. Okay. God says, I want you to aim and I want you to pull the trigger. Quit playing. This ain't a game. Satan's out to kill you. He wants you. He wants your family. He wants your job. He wants your church. He wants you. He wants your soul. It's not a game. Don't just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. God said, let's get busy. So the charge of faith is, when you use God's word, you actually invite God's power. I'm just going to put a few verses up here, and then we're going to come up and pray. It's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know what? When I'm in the hospital, I got called this week. The funeral home called me, and I said, and whenever the funeral home calls me, I always say, y'all didn't call me to invite me to lunch, did you? Yeah, nope. Oh, we can take you to lunch if you want to go. I go, why'd you call me? And I'm just praying that it's not one of y'all. And he said, there's this guy, and his wife just died. They were out of town when she died and said they don't have a pastor. And said he wanted somebody that was not religious. And he said, the first person I thought of, he said, not religious, down to earth. I said, and boom, right? He said, no. He said, I thought of you. Can you do it? And so I called the guy. And I'm going to go meet him. I went to meet him in McDonald's so I could talk to him about his wife and talk to him about the whole situation. And the whole way there, I said, because I didn't know him, I didn't know what I was going to get into, I said, it's not by might or by power, but it's by your spirit. So while I was walking around in McDonald's, didn't know what the guy looked like. I'm walking around McDonald's trying to find him. He found me. I was saying, it's not by power or by might, but it's by your spirit, says the Lord. And when we sat down, you could feel God's power. I mean, a Big Mac had nothing on it. You could feel God's power. See, when you speak His word, you invite His power. When I speak my word, I invite my own power. My power's not good enough. I need His power. Amen. He says, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. And here's my favorite. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. Moses tried. I don't know if you realize this or thought about this. Moses felt the call of God while he was still in the world. Some of y'all are going to get something out of this. He still felt the call of God while he was in the world, while he was in line for Pharaoh's ship. And while he's out walking amongst the buildings going on, all the building going on, he sees an Egyptian doing his people bad. He feels that call. But he doesn't realize that he's about to stall. Because he kills the Egyptian and buries him. And the next day walks out and thinks everybody's going to go, all right, there's the deliverer. No, they saw him and said, that's the guy that killed the Egyptian. And they started hollering and he ran for his life. And he was stalled 40 years. Can't blame him. He didn't know exactly how to, I mean, he didn't have church on Sunday to tell him how to listen to God. And here's three steps and here's four ways to understand God. And here's how to listen to God. He didn't have all that. All he had was that burning in his heart. But God said, in the next 40 years, something's going to be different. See, in the beginning of those 40 years, as he felt the call to deliver Israel from Egypt, he killed one man and ran for his life. 40 years later, he's had all the power of Egypt behind him. He could speak the word and heads rolled. He would speak the word and he had anything he wanted. But fear consumed him as he tried to do it on his own magnificent power, and he only delivered one. 40 years later, he's been in the wilderness, and God's taught him some powerful lessons. When he first went to deliver the people, he had a king's heart. 40 years later, he goes to deliver the people, he's got a shepherd's heart. The first time, he kills one Egyptian, tries to free one Israelite, gets afraid and runs. The next time, all he's got is God's word and a stick. And you know what? I believe Before he spoke to the Israelites, God spoke it to him. Fear not. Remember the first time he got afraid. Stand still. The first time he ran. Stand still. And watch God work. His word in a stick was more powerful than him being in line to be the strongest, most powerful man in the world. Today, there's no doubt in my mind, everybody in here is called. Not everybody's called to a pulpit ministry. Some of you are called. Your pulpit is the checkout line at the grocery store. Your pulpit is the car that you ride with your partner as y'all are going back and forth carpooling. Your pulpit is your work table. Your pulpit may be, have you ever been in Walmart or somewhere and all of a sudden you run into somebody you hadn't seen in years? And you were in a hurry and they stop and go, you know, you say, how's it going? They go, well, you know, I am having a problem. And then they unleash on you. I had that happen this week. I was around somebody, and as I was around somebody, one of their kinfolk come out of the house. When the kinfolk come out of the house, all of a sudden, I mean, bam! The Holy Spirit hit me and said, that guy's in trouble. And so I looked over at this person's family member, and I said, is everything okay with this guy? And he said, well, I don't know. He said he got a bad phone call this morning, and he just hadn't been himself, and blah, 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 but I can't get him looked up. I don't know what's going on. And so he goes in a garage to go to work, and I kept feeling the Holy Spirit. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. So I walked in, and I said, what's going on? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, yeah, you do. And he said, well, you wouldn't understand. I said, try me. And then he said, this is just one of those things. I said to God, nothing is just one of those things. And I finally said, well, I guess you don't want to talk. And as I turned around, he went, okay, here it is. And I got a chance to talk to him. And as I was talking to him, I saw the tears start falling, and then I saw the smile start breaking through. And I said, Lord, it's amazing. I weren't supposed to be at that place at that time. Matter of fact, I weren't supposed to be anywhere around that place at that time. But God had me in that place at that time. Your pulpit may even be your supper table. Your pulpit may even be at the playground as you're watching the kids play and somebody sit beside you. So don't think because it's not a pulpit, you're not called. Don't be like Moses in the first 40 years. Tried it on his own strength. Failed to fear. Ran. Tried to fix it himself. Didn't work. Next time, he says, fear not. Stand still. Don't run. Let God fix it. First time he delivered one. The second time he delivered a million and a half to 2 million people. Wow. Everybody stand. If you're stalled today, I want you to ask God to help you. To show you. Not to blame everybody else. Not to blame anybody. Just say, God, help me. Help me see what's stalling me and help me get beyond it. God's awesome. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just going to be quick. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The very first thing that will stall you, it stalled Moses, is he didn't have a relationship with God. He tried on his own. Everything he did was on his own and his own power. He thought because he was trained in the sciences and the mathematics of Egypt, he had it going on, and he did. But not for what God had in store for him. So if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, well, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to just put it in hand and say, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just, I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you're here today and circumstances, you've been stalled so long that you think that there's nothing for you and that God has left his hand off of you, that he's pulled it away, and you're needing to rededicate yourself, see God's hand again in your life, and you want so much to see God call the shots again. If I'm talking to you, would you just raise that hand quickly? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Maybe you're here today and everything's cool between you and God, but you're stalled. You may not even thought about it until today. And you're needing God to help you get back in gear, to get back up, to pull them tent pegs up. If I'm speaking to you, or nobody else is looking around, would you just put a hand and say, pray for me, Pastor? I got my tent pegs up, down. I need them up. Bless them, Lord. Help them get those tent pegs up. Get those tent pegs up. Get those tent pegs up. Right now, in the name of Jesus. If you raised your hand for anything or wanted to and didn't, there's another reason you want to just come up and thank God and praise him. This altar's open. This altar's open. If you have anything you need from God today, this altar's open. Don't leave until you've talked to him. All that will, come on up here and pray. Whatever the reason, come on up here and pray. Some of y'all are stalled now because you're scared somebody's going to think you're stalled. Come on. Don't matter what anybody thinks about me. If I need God, I'm going to talk to him. Come on. I need God. I need God. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. I need God. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's got the answer. I need God. I need him. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help her, Father. God, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you've got this all under control, Lord. Father, that we're not having to fight it on our own. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Everybody, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Sing it with him. Your holy presence, living in me. Sing it. Is my air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Come on. And I'm lost without you. Yes, glory, glory. And I'm lost without you. Lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. God's awesome. All the time. Remember, no matter where you may find yourself, God's already there. Matter of fact, if you think you can run from him, wherever you go, there you are. He's going to find you. Never leaves you, forsakes you. God's got it. God's got this, God's got this, God's got this. Even if you feel stalled, remember, you're still called. He can handle it. Amen? Amen. Brother Joey, it feels good to call you Brother Joey. We've called each other a lot of things over the years. Most of the time, it was friend, okay. That's right. Always friend. Look, brother, dismiss us in prayer, please.